So in this very powerful text called Manashodhanam, we have studied initially about the importance of purification of the mind, why I need my mind to be pure. As spiritual seekers, we have to have that, because an impure mind cannot meditate, cannot study, cannot even pray. To turn our attention to the Lord, you need to have calmness of mind. You need to have pure thoughts. Otherwise, even the desire to meditate or the desire to study or the desire to evolve spiritually will not arise. So the quietening of the mind and removing the negativities from the mind is a prerequisite for any spiritual pursuit. Whether you're a Christian or a Buddhist or a Hindu or a Muslim, whether you're going to the church or temple or mosque, if you go there, you will sit for the sermon, but your mind will be wandering. You will not be listening to whatever the teacher is saying. So that's why we are doing this series of four texts. And the first one we did was Manashodhanam, or purification of mind. And especially when we sit for meditation, our mind runs and it wanders. Why? Because there is a lot of inner disturbances, a lot of inner negativities, a lot of inner agitations like anger and greed and jealousy. And they all come out of desire and out of past vasanas, out of past tendencies, out of past desires. So that's why mental purification is a must. And we already started, not only in the spiritual field, but even to be successful in the world, a person who is angry and greedy and jealous and agitated and disturbed, he may temporarily be successful by power of his might, but sooner or later he will overcome, he will encounter opposition and he will fail. So whether you are in a spiritual field or in a material field, quietening and purification of the mind is a must. In the last few weeks, we have been covering different topics, how to overcome anger, how to overcome delusion, how to overcome hypocrisy, violence, and so on. Today, in verse number 21, we'll do four other values or four other obstacles. It's a very beautiful verse because it teaches us how to overcome obstacles that will come in our life. So these four obstacles, we'll see how we can overcome them. And the way the teacher has approached it is very interesting. So we'll chant verse number 21 on page 45. Kripaya bhutajam dukham. Daivam jahyat samadhina, samadhina atmajam yoga viryena, yoga viryena nidram sattva nishevaya, nishevaya. So there are four kinds of obstacles which have been mentioned. The first three come as a group, and then the fourth one is separate. We find in our life that there are three kinds of problems that come, or three kinds of disturbances, or three kinds of sorrows. What are they? One is from the environment, from people, my neighbor, my spouse, my child, my daughter-in-law, my dog, my cat, my boss, you know, my neighbor, my friend, you know, who is very disturbing, or co-workers. So these are one kind of problems. And I just can't stand that, you know, this person or that person. And so that disturbs us. That's number one. Second kind of problems are from the phenomenal forces, earthquakes, tornadoes, hurricanes, where there is so much damage, or excessive heat, excessive cold. So those are the second kind of disturbances that come in our life. And the third, and the one that is the most bothersome, is the one that comes from within. Disturbances that come from within. They could be physical, like ill health, pain, and so on. Or they could be mental, where my mind is disturbed, it's agitated for no reason. It could be for a reason or for no reason. So these are the three main obstacles that come in everybody's life. That is why every time we end the class, every Thursday night, you must have noticed, not only that, but any Chinmaya mission, anywhere in the world, when they end the class, they say Shanti, Shanti, Shanti. They say Shanti, which means peace, three times. Peace, peace, peace. Why do we say that? That may there be peace in the cosmos, in the nature. May nature not disturb us when we are studying, when we are praying, when we are meditating. So may there be peace in the cosmos. May there be peace in my surroundings, my neighbors, my friends, my family. And thirdly, may there be peace within. So that's why we ask the Lord's grace that may there be peace in the nature, in my surroundings and within. So we'll try to address as many as we can today. And those we cannot, we'll continue next week. By the way, those who don't have the book, this, I would request you to buy the book, because this particular verse, of course, every verse, the commentary is very beautiful, but Swami Tejomayananda, who has given this commentary, please don't read it now, but when you go home, read this commentary on this verse. He is a very beautiful commentary, and some beautiful stories he has told. It's very, very interesting how he has advised us to overcome these. So go home and read this verse again, because what I explain may not be as good as, or definitely won't be as good as what Swamiji has done. Actually, this book is written by Swami Tejomayananda, who is the worldwide head of our mission. He was a student of Swami Chinmayananda. This mission is called Chinmaya Mission, in dedication to our founder. And then he was his direct student, and he took over the mission after the master left his body in 1993. So Swami Tejomayananda ji travels all over the world, and he has written this book. So the first one, he says, so bhutajam dukkham, so bhutajam means other living beings. So sorrows that we encounter from other living beings, could be humans, could be animals, could be birds, could be fish. And how do we overcome them? And people say, you know, so and so person, if this person were to change, I would be happy. If just this person I could modify, I could change him. This person, otherwise he's perfect, my husband. But there's one habit. This one habit I could change. And that's every woman's dream, is to change her husband. And and of course every man's dream is to change her wife, change his wife. In fact, they say, I think I mentioned that before, that a man wishes that his wife would never change, and the wife wishes her husband would change, and they are both dissatisfied. They are both unhappy. The man wants the wife, the way I married her when she was 22, she should remain like that. And his wife, so why do people behave differently? Why do people give me sorrow? Why do I get problems from people? Because each and every one of us is different. Each and every one of us grew up in a different environment. Even brother and sister, they are so different. Partly it is the environment that I grew up in, say husband and wife meet, but they are from different families, different states, different countries sometimes, different cultures. But also, each and every one of us is a product of our past, our vasanas. That's what we say, that we are not only the product of what we have done in this lifetime, but if you believe in rebirth, we are a product of multiple lifetimes of accumulated vasanas, accumulated tendencies, accumulated habits, accumulated thoughts. So a child, even though the child appears to be born innocent and fresh, has a lot of pre-existing ideas. That's why two children born to the same parents, one is an artist, another one can't even draw a straight line. You know, one is a great musician, other one can't even sing a note. He may be great in math, or he may be great in, you know, throwing a football, while the other brother is an artist and he just sits and plays music, or and the other one says, what are you wasting your time? Come out and let's play football. So two children born to the same parents with the same genes, supposedly, with the same heredity, are so different. We say that is because of their pre-existing tendencies. So each and every one of us is a product of our past. And if not only this, the lifetime, but multiple lifetimes. So how can you expect two people to be the same? They can't be. People are from different culture. Their behavior is different. Their childhood is different. Somebody had a very abusive childhood. Somebody had very loving parents. Somebody grew up as an orphan or maybe in a foster home. So to expect that everybody will do exactly as what I say is not possible. And problems will come, because when two people are interacting, each one has their own willpower, has their own ego, has their own desires. And so conflicts will be there in a relationship, whether it's a marriage or whether it's a father and a son or whether it's employees working in an office or boss and employee. So how do we overcome them? How do we change, or how do we handle? How do we? So they say by patience and by compassion. So what they are saying is that do not try to change the world, change yourself. And it is true, we create our environment based on what we think. Say from tomorrow onwards, you start going to the bar every day in the evening and have 3 or 4 drinks. What's going to happen? Your friends are going to be people who frequent the bar, people who like to drink, and those are going to be your best friends. Or if you go to a sports bar every evening and watch the sports and, you know, see whatever the basketball is going on, or the NBA championships or the football Monday night, then you're going to make friends with sports lovers. It's obvious, and that's going to become your environment. But if you come to a place like this where we can discuss about spirituality and God and meditation, and then that will become your circle of friends. As what's happening to us lately, we have found that more and more we are so much involved in this mission that the majority of our friends are like-minded people who think like us. So they say that you change your thoughts, then you will change your environment. Then also you will be reading those kind of books. When I'm interested in spirituality, then I'll be reading books like these or spiritual texts. If I'm interested in sports, then I'll be watching ESPN and reading the ESPN news magazine. If I'm interested in alcohol, then I'll be trying to read up on the latest wines, you know, that the Napa Valley wines and all the new ways to make different cocktails, you know. So your reading becomes that, and that becomes your TV watching, and that becomes your thought, and that becomes your action, and that becomes your surroundings. So that is number one, that if you want to change your surroundings, you change yourself, and you will find that automatically you will start associating with people who are conducive to your new tendency. That's number one. But how about even if I start going to the church or going to the Chinmaya mission and studying, but I cannot change my spouse. Say he's not coming, or he is still angry towards me, or he is still, you know, combative, or he's, what do I do about that? So they say that if somebody is not conducive towards you, has a conflict with you, is very abusive or very confrontational or giving you a lot of problems, there could be two reasons. One is that there is a genuine problem that this person has. There is something in my behavior or in my situation which is causing this confrontation to occur. And that is number one. And it could be real or it could be perceived. I may be doing something wrong or I may not be doing something wrong, but the person is perceiving my actions and my behavior to be wrong. So that is number one. The second is that the person is not even aware that he is doing this thing to you, causing these problems in your life. So the second one, that where the person is not aware, you can overcome that by gently sitting down and having a calm conversation where there is no conflict, there is no accusation, there is no blame, but just a simple discussion that this is what I have perceived, and is this what you intended to project towards me, this anger or this confrontation? And the person may not be aware that what she was thinking was normal behavior, or maybe he or she was not intending it, but you were misinterpreting it, that this person is confrontational. So that is number one, by sitting down and talking about it. But suppose there is a genuine problem, if you sit down and say, you know, this is the particular problem, then that is something you can work on, you can discuss, you can try to improve. But suppose the problem is such that you don't even perceive that you're doing anything wrong, and this person is just habitually, just with malice or without any reason creating problems, then what do I do? They say, be compassionate and be patient. Because this world is an echo. Whatever you push out into the world, you will get back. Like if you go to an echo point, you know, all these mountains have these echo points, and you get up and loudly say, I hate you, loudly. It will say, I hate you, I hate you, I hate you. 3-4 times you will hear that back. You say, I love you, I love you. It will say, I love you, I love you, I love you, I love you. On and on and on. So the world is like that echo point. What you project out into the world, you get back. There is nothing that is happening to me that to some extent I am not involved in it. Maybe by my actions or maybe by my past karmas. When sorrows come to me, either it is because I have caused them now or I have caused them in this life or in my previous life. No sorrow comes to anybody without any reason. There is never at all any suffering happens to anybody that person himself or herself was not responsible. Because this law of karma is so perfect, the law that the Lord has made, is so perfect that if good things are happening to you, should be thankful, oh Lord, thank you so much. And if something is unconducive to you, it is sorrowful, then you understand that, oh Lord, I must have done something. And so what that does is it teaches you to cheerfully accept that, okay, sorrows are coming, it is my karmas, that's fine, Lord, I accept it. So when you do that, immediately your blame stops. You don't blame anybody else. You don't criticize anybody else. You don't get agitated. It's like somebody pokes the finger in my eye. How angry I get. You know, you idiot, can't you even see where you... But if I accidentally poke my own finger in my eye, what do? I just, you know, I forgive my finger and I, you know, just massage my eye. So similarly, if the sorrow that is happening has been caused by me, then I have nobody else to blame, nobody else to criticize. So that's number one. Number two, when this person, say, is harassing me or molesting me or bothering me or disturbing me, then you should have patience and you should have compassion. One is that suppose this person is continuously doing negative deeds, talking bad, violent, angry, then you feel sorry for this person, that what kind of negative karmas this person has accumulating. Especially when I read about, you know, some people who have molested children, or that man who had imprisoned those three women and kept them. You feel sorry how much negative karma this person has accumulated, not unknowingly, you know, for his pleasure or whatever. But for that, he's not only going to suffer in jail for the next 20, 30 years or maybe get death, but he's going to carry that karma into his future life. And how much this negative actions, you know, people who molest children or people who, these kind of horrible deeds, or those who are mass murderers, or, you know, those who just, you know, go around, you know, just, they accumulate so much negative karma. One is you can get angry towards that person and get yourself disturbed and say, oh, that rascal should be shot and he should be murdered. And such rascal should not even get a trial. And then all of yourself getting yourself upset. You say, okay, Lord, that is, you are responsible. You are responsible for this, this world. It is your world. You take care of it. So you are then, and whatever this person is doing, oh Lord, that is your. So I do not get myself disturbed by what is happening. And say if a person close to me is continuously doing negative things towards me, then if I have patience and if I have compassion for this person, that, oh Lord, forgive him, for he is accumulating all these negative karmas. And when his hostility and anger and all that is continuously met with patience and compassion and calmness and acceptance, what will happen is, one is that when you accept a person as they are, without criticism, without any negative, then slowly you will diffuse his negativity or her negative. And also that person will realize that I am continuously doing, because the person knows, inside everybody knows that I am not doing the right thing by doing negative. And I'm not getting a negative response. This person still remains calm, still remains kind, still remains compassionate. So after a while, that person will himself feel, ashamed or feel sorry. And so that's how you can change your situations. And also they say that, people say, I come to these classes, I wish my husband would come, or I wish my wife would come, or I wish my neighbor would come, or I wish my son would come. So what our teachers tell us, that when you continuously study this knowledge, when you read this literature, and when you associate with people like this, and you practice meditation, and you practice this, developing these qualities, then there will be a change in your behavior. There will be a change in your inner environment. And when people see that this person, by this knowledge that was given, by the rishis thousands of years ago, how this knowledge has changed this person, then that person will say, I also want this change. If the person sees that this person is calmer than she was before, or this person doesn't get as agitated, that's what one of our teachers told us when we asked him, how do we know that we are progressing spiritually? So this Swamiji said, how do you know? When things that used to bother you don't bother you anymore, that is a sign that you are progressing spiritually. So when this person sees that my partner or my spouse or my is no longer affected by those things, is more calm, is more happy, is more peaceful, then that's how. So whatever atmosphere it's like you become an island of peace. You become an island of tranquility. You become an island of compassion, of love. And people around who are drowning in their anger and hatred and, jealousy will say that, I also want to climb onto this island because I'm suffering in that. So how do you overcome obstacles created by beings? By compassion and by patience. We only got one done. We have three more. They are very beautiful, especially the one from nature. I was planning to address the Oklahoma tornado. So we'll do that next week. We'll talk about that and other, things related to that. And then also how to overcome sorrows that come from within because of my body and because of my mind. And then how to overcome ignorance. So these we'll try to cover in the next week or two. But we have some time for questions or comments.
People that suffer from anxiety, a physical condition.
Mental. It's more a mental. Yes. I think by both. It could be karmas or it could be accumulated habit of wrong thinking. And wrong, and then that we will address when we talk about from oneself. Yeah. But yeah, by practicing yoga, by practicing self-control, by applying these Vedantic principles of meditation and, yoga and flexibility and calmness of mind. And so you can, especially regular meditation is one of the most powerful ways to address anxiety. And There are people who have been coming to this class, you know, who were on multiple psychiatric meds and have been able to go off. So it does help. Meditation and the right knowledge and applying that does make a difference. So anxiety, again, anxiety could be external or could be from within. Most of the time it is from within, you know, arises from within. But sometimes anxiety could be from surrounding, fear of being robbed or fear of being, you know, raped or fear of dark because of the childhood. So both of those, whether it's external or internal, can be helped by right knowledge and by meditation. And when it comes to your own principles and your own, you know, rights, you don't let them trample. But do that with the calmness, without getting angry, without getting hostile. Because if you do that, then you will, that person is hostile and you react with hostility and then it will be a vicious cycle, you know, going on and on. You remain calm and say, you know, look, this is, like you said, this is where I draw the line. You know, this is where you are trampling on my rights, on my freedom, on my ability to, you know, to do my job, you know, in the right way. But inside, I do not have any anger or hostility for the person. With calm and with lovingly, you can tell that person the same thing. But you don't hate that person because you again realize that, like she said, you know, we don't know what circumstances they came from, why they are angry. Maybe he had a fight with his wife or maybe he was beaten as a child, you know. So people have different backgrounds and different situations why they are hostile. So accept that person, like he said, but at the same time, do not become a doormat. When it comes to a situation where they are, you have to protect your own peace of mind. You have to be very firm guardian of that, that I'm not going to let anybody disturb my peace of mind. Because only you can protect that. Nobody else can. Your teacher cannot, your spouse cannot, your boss. Only you can. So I have to jealously guard my peace of mind. And by just, and something like that happens, just start watching your breath. Just take a few deep breaths and just calm down. And then when you, after you have done that, then your response will be more measured and will be more balanced instead of a reactive, angry response. I think, again, you have to realize that everything comes with a package. If you accept her generosity and accept her giving you gifts and giving you money and all, then to some extent you become dependent on that person. And so you are subjugating your will and your personality to that person. So the moment you accept something from somebody, then you become in the position of taking a favor, and then you are forced to put up with that. So one is that you say, I do not need anything from you. That's number one. But say you need help and the person is helping you. Then when this person is continuously correcting you and all, you can again, in a non-confrontational way, maybe try to talk to that person. That, look, what you are saying is very good. I thank you and I appreciate you for trying to correct, you know, my health issues, my emotional issues, my home, my situation, my circumstances, my cats, my family, whatever she is criticizing. Yeah, so it may be that she may be doing it out of an intention to help you, to make you better, because she feels that this person needs help in these places. So, but I think what you can do is, first of all, tell that person, hey, thank you for all your help and thank you for these suggestions, even though they come as critical. But you can also tell her that, A, I know, I am aware of these things and I'm myself working on them and I'm myself, like my health issues or my, I myself am trying to correct them. So I know what you are saying is, but if it's something completely wrong, then you can say that if you are saying this about me, but it's completely, but if what that person says to some extent is right and some extent, you can say, yes, I'm aware of that. But also you can say that as a friend, you know, you have my interests at heart, but when you constantly criticize, nag, and bother, then it just becomes a constant negative friendship. So let us try to help each other. I appreciate your help, and let us not all the time dwell on those things. And I'm trying to get better. And I think by conversation, by talking, And by understanding from where this person is coming, most likely she's coming, she thinks that she's helping you, A, financially, and also by giving you advice. But if, when the advice comes across as criticism, then you can point it out to her and say that, you know, maybe I don't want all the time to talk about it. Maybe let's talk about the weather, or let's talk about the Dodgers, LA Dodgers, or let's talk about, you know, let's talk about space travel. So that's what I mean. You know, you can change the subject, talk about, you know, the nature, or let's go for a walk, and let's go to Hart Park and see the river and see the peacocks. So you can change the direction of the conversation by gently deflecting it. Well, then you have to decide whether you want that toxic friendship or not. Then maybe you choose it. Huh? Yes. Yeah, you choose. Okay, is it worth it? Is it whatever little she's helping me, but the mental torture she's inflicting upon me is a lot more? And you say, I don't need your help. So you have to choose. Either you try to correct the situation, or if you can't correct it, then walk away. There's only two. Actually, there's only three. One is you correct the situation. If you cannot correct it, you walk away from it. But even if you cannot walk away, then you accept it. So I think in this situation, looks like you can just walk away if it is that toxic for you. Yeah, by repeatedly pointing out and cutting short that, you know, I don't want this, you can do that.